Hello, and welcome to a new podcast series from IBM Software that explores the challenges IT managers and business professionals are facing today. I'm Eric Green, and I'll be talking with a range of experts to discover new perspectives, approaches, and examples that can help meet these challenges and introduce you to the capabilities of smarter software from IBM. So let's get started.
Welcome back. Today we're going to be focusing on application lifecycle management with Sue Green, who's with Rational Systems Solutions at IBM. Sue works on communicating the solutions that Rational creates for products and systems customers. Sue, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
So to start with, could you please give us your definition of application lifecycle management?
Well, application lifecycle management is really a very collaborative and integrated approach to developing software, typically involving a unified approach to requirements, design, change management, software configuration management, and quality management so that you can facilitate more agility in your environment and improve the outcomes, especially important in times like today where you have to have a much faster time to market and quality is so critical in our markets that we serve.
Interesting. So how has the approach to this area of products and systems architecture and development changed over, say, the last maybe 6 to 12 or 15 months?
Well, in our customer base, we serve the customers who are making physical products. They make airplanes, cars, smartphones, medical devices, and the amount of software in these products is increasing very rapidly. As a matter of fact, it right now is the key to innovation and differentiation in the products, and it's creating the competitive playing field in the delivery of what we call smarter products. This way, by incorporating more software, the vendors are able to put more differentiation and value into their products. Certainly, I think as a consumer, we've all seen that with smartphones, but it's also true in products like cars and planes and medical devices. The Chevy Volt, for example, has a tremendous amount of software and a number of built-in computers that help operate the system because software can help increase the fuel efficiency in cars and in planes and in other things. So that's one of the big changes we're seeing is, one, the rise of the software in the products, and two, the need to combine into your overall product development process the software development or application lifecycle management with your product lifecycle management.
I can see how that would definitely be changing given how the environment is working around architecture and applications and things like wireless and mobility. But could you possibly expand on the differences between, as you had mentioned, lifecycle management just then as well as product lifecycle management?
Sure. As a matter of fact, in our business with our customers, though it's called application lifecycle management in the first place, they're really developing more of embedded software or real-time software, things that are typically not separable from the hardware, such as applications, maybe otherwise. On the product lifecycle management side, they're traditionally more focused on the mechanical and the electrical side of things, and hence introducing the strong focus on software or the growth of software into that overall product lifecycle is rather new for them and is more of incorporating the whole separate lifecycle of software. And we know that software has its own expertise and own things that are very particular to that development process. So you can't expect that those who were well-versed in traditional product lifecycle management, more focused on mechanical and electrical, would automatically be experts in software too. Hence, the differences between the two are driving that importance of how do you look at combining these individual engineering disciplines, the experts in software development, real-time and embedded software development, with the experts in electronics and the experts in mechanical. And actually, you know, we look at that, and they do too, at what's called the systems engineering level.
So we've talked a bit about sort of what application lifecycle management is and how it's been changing, and that was a great explanation of the differences between ALM or application lifecycle management and PLM, product lifecycle management. Perhaps now you could discuss how organizations are addressing both ALM and PLM.
Right. So As I just sort of mentioned there, the systems engineering aspect is very key on that. The systems engineering is a discipline that takes place overall. I mean, it's before and during, you know, those processes of separate individual engineering disciplines like mechanical, electrical, and software. Systems engineering is that stage where you're looking at the overall requirements and ensuring that you've captured and you define well the requirements for the overall system or product. Emerging in these organizations is a much stronger focus on design, where it's leveraging tools that do modeling. And then you can closely associate your requirements management and your design through the modeling to ensure that you've created the requirements so they're well understood, they're consistent, they're complete, and that they're testable, and you can now break that down into the mechanical, electrical, and software components. So you have to have a very unified process between systems engineering and the different disciplines, and between each of what we typically call the lifecycle disciplines, like requirements, design, change management, quality management, because they must work together to respond to the inevitable changes that are going to occur, and also be able to identify when things are certainly costing more or taking longer, so that the other disciplines are all informed and engaged and able to contribute according to their schedules or adjust schedules as needed.
So what's the driving force usually? I mean, is it cost, as in things are costing companies too money because they're too complex? Is it customer service? Customers are somehow getting angry or moving to other products and services based on the amount of time it takes for response. You know, what are the driving forces?
The answer to that question is yes. It's both of those and more. You know, cost is a critical factor. Value to the customers is very key. Competition is definitely heated up. It's worldwide. It's constant. And so you must be very responsive to your customers. You must deliver more value to them. At the same time, they're more demanding because they know they have global sources to draw upon, and that with the innovation they've seen occur, that they're going to expect more. So you have to be responsive to your customer. You can't any longer say, wait, you know, we've already set the requirements, now you want this change, that's just impossible, we can't consider it, you know, wait till later. You do have to consider it and look at the impact, be able to analyze that very well and report back to your customer what the impact would be to them on in terms of delivery time, and as well be very, very posed in the way you organize your development structure to respond and deliver on those change requests as best as possible. One more aspect I might mention is that quality is so key. You know, in our world of customers delivering automobiles and planes and medical devices, you can imagine that quality and safety are key concerns. If anything does go wrong, it doesn't just hurt that product, it hurts the company. We've seen several examples of that, I'm sure we're all familiar with over the years, when there's recalls on automobiles or when satellite missions fail, you know, or certain rocket launches have to be canceled because of a software failure. You know, these are things that quality and safety are very key in our industry, and hence driving this strong ALM-PLM integration too, is that you have to have that constant communication and collaboration among the disciplines and across the life cycle to ensure that not only do you meet your cost requirements and the requirements overall, but you deliver on the quality and safety aspects.
So before this podcast, we talked a bit about sort of the concept of smarter planet and smarter business. How does this approach plug into the overarching concept?
That's a very good question, because this is key. I mean, let's take an example with the smarter planet and business that we can relate to. Smart grids or smart meters in our homes. You know, these are products or physical things, but they're interacting with, say, a network for communication in order to have them perform at their best and to potentially conserve energy and to consume less energy in, say, the transfer of energy through grids or access energy in emergency purposes from other areas, or even with the meters on our houses, being able to adjust for different demands in the city for energy in the homes versus energy in the businesses and so forth. So we're seeing things that around the smart city concept, smart grids, they're taking advantage of this whole systems engineering and systems of systems engineering to bring these together in networked environments to improve results for our cities and for our energy consumption, as an example.
Excellent. So perhaps you can finish this podcast off by giving us some thoughts on how IBM is innovating when it comes to ALM and the PLM market.
We definitely take a solution approach to this, knowing that our customers need a combination of things to realize this transformation. So our solution approach encompasses tools, for sure, across those core disciplines that we talked about in requirements, design, change management, configuration management, and quality. We ensure that our solution is designed so that it enables and supports greater collaboration and unification of the different life cycle disciplines and engineering disciplines. We provide process support and process guidance. That's based upon the many years of experience we have in working with customers who deliver these complex products and have to deal with the complexity of systems and systems of systems, so that you get actual execution support so that, for example, with a product like Rational Team Concert, you can have these templates that for certain practices or best practices, it will automatically instantiate the work items needed for certain roles. And you can have these templates for execution with several practices, along with what we call tool mentors that tell you how to execute these practices across multiple tools. So our solution approach includes not only tools, but also practices and process support. And in addition, what we say, people, you know, the experts that will work with you in services and in consulting or mentoring in order to help you accelerate your adoption of these practices and of using the tools most efficiently in a very collaborative way across all your different contributors. What we found in working with customers is a big difference in the quality and time to market that they've been able to achieve.
Well, it seems that's all the time we actually have for today's podcast. But Sue, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Please do visit ibm.com/software to connect with our experts, continue the conversation, and to learn more about smarter software from IBM. Let's build a smarter planet.